The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome everyone to this very special EvoStick NPL show season preview 2016-17. For the new boys in the league.
We're doing predictions in this bit as well.
This is for the clubs who've come up from Division 1 North and South, as well as the teams who excitedly have come from the National League to join us. And you're more than welcome. The podcast is a lot better at this level of the game. Shall we start off with the champions from Division 1 South, let's be fair.
Stafford
Rangers.
Well,
we're going to be speaking to Robin Gray in a second or two about Stafford Rangers' chances. But Stafford Rangers, the last time at this level, went down in a blaze of glory in a way, just narrowly beating Drolsden. And it wasn't the best of seasons for Stafford.
Well, no, it was the worst season ever, weren't it? That's the thing, but they were a team who were...
It was the second worst ever, that's why I mentioned Drolsden.
Right. Yes, fair. No, but it was their worst season. You know, it was a club who was in absolute crisis. They didn't know what they were doing at all. But now they've recovered. And have we got a little klaxon here for sleeping giants? Because they are. They're non-league sleeping giants, they really are. They used to be in, you know, they were in the conference for a long time, weren't they? And they were just fixtures there. They really were steadfast members of the conference. And one day they'll be back up there again.
So, Stafford Rangers. For more information on Stafford Rangers now, and to see what the general mood is in the Staffordshire area, well, there's only one place we can turn to, and that's to our friend from the EvoStick Division 1 show and the Staffordshire Football Show on Not FM. It's Robin Gray. Hello, Robin. How are you?
I'm very well, Ben. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, welcome back. Hope you had a lovely summer. So, we're going to talk to you for the Division 1 preview out on Saturday morning. But before that, Stafford Rangers. They won the league last year. It was probably tighter than they thought it should be. But they got promoted. Are they going to make a big impact this season on the Premier Division, do you think?
I do think that they will. I really do. They've everybody said last season, strong side, Stafford Rangers. And it's fair to say that they are pulling together another strong side. Players like Chris Taylor coming in, Cal Perry more recently. And the name that got me, George Bowerman, of course, formerly of Accrington Stanley in League Two only a few seasons ago. Players of that ilk coming to Stafford Rangers. It's been a wonderful summer of transfer activity for them. And they probably needed it. So they've signed some good players. I think the thing is, so many managers that I talk to say about that jump from the EvoStick North or South to the Premier Division is massive. Mm-hmm. And that has been shown in their transfer activity more locally. People like Jack Sherritt has been given a chance to see if he can do it again. A former youngster and the winner pro deal at Leyton Orient as well under Russell Slade. And didn't quite work out for him there, but he's got another chance maybe to climb that non-league ladder and see whether he can have a crack at it with Stafford Rangers. And it's about pinching some of those good players from the division you've just been in. But I also think that they've gone outside the thing there a little bit. And like I say, Walsall, Accrington Stanley and Altrincham were Bowman's former clubs. That's just a testament to what they've been doing. And I think altogether they've had about 8 new players come in. And like I say, more recently, Cal Perry as well. And Michael Townsend and Kieran Preston as well. And Neil Kitchen's got a fantastic sort of wealth of knowledge in terms of getting players in. And links, like you see, Kieran Preston, the goalkeeper, is at Bristol Rovers. And getting players from that sort of area shows that you're doing something good.
Absolutely. And when it comes to Stafford Rangers, I mean, you said the leap from Division 1 to the Premier is a big one. That's not strictly true when it comes to Division 1 North, as last season proved, and the season before that, and nearly the season before that as well. The Division 1 South, though, it's generally the reputation is that it's mid-table-ish. I saw on Caulfield last season, had a tremendous season, but still finished 12th, essentially. It's this Stafford Rangers here could break the mould in a lot of ways. And do you think it's a bit of a leap to suggest that they're playoff, maybe even title contenders this season?
I do, but you know, you can't doubt that the quality of play that they've brought in has been good. I think they need more additions to get to that. And what I'd say to anybody who thinks they might have a chance is, well, yeah, don't rule it out, because give the season, you know, 7 or 8 games, and then see if they go back into the market. Neil Kitchen will get players in and also get them out sometimes. And he had a big squad last year, and don't rule out the same sort of thing happening. And although it's not every manager's way to do it, he's got a proven track record of success with it, like we saw at Rushall. And getting Stafford up, and it is a results business. And he gets his teams well drilled. And if they can get, you know, some more players in, if they can get the ones that they've got to adapt to that level, and maybe pick up a couple of, like you say, like I've said about George Bowman, another one who could be... Could be a decent signing for them. Just if they can make that step up in terms of the quality of player and maybe adapt things a little bit. I know they played 4-4-2 last season. They might need to try some new systems this year, you know, and things like that. So be interesting to see and see whether they can do it. But I wouldn't rule them out at all. It's a massive club. It really is
a massive club. Yes.
There are a lot of big clubs in that division. There are a lot of big clubs even lower. So it's easy to go by reputation, but I do think in terms of quality, yeah, I think they might be on a road to mid-table, and you just never know, do you?
For Division 1 South, this is our fourth season of doing the MPL show, and Division 1 South, teams from Division 1 South compared to Division 1 North have always been a struggle, let's put it that way. Stafford Rangers have got the opportunity here to be the best to come out of that league, perhaps in Sutton Coldfield.
Stafford Rangers, I think, will be going for it. I was told before the start of last season Stafford Rangers were going to win the league.
Yeah.
They were so confident, they knew they'd got all the parts in the right places. And I think Stafford Rangers are now ambitious to get back to probably where they think they belong, and that's in the National League. So I don't think this season is going to be a consolation season. I think they're going to go for it.
And they'll benefit a lot from the title race they had last season, because for a long time it looked like they were going to walk it, and then Colville and Shaw Lane went, hang on, and they didn't bottle it, Stafford, and I think that might put them in good stead, despite the fact it's a level down.
They didn't bottle it, but
they nearly did.
They didn't win it convincingly, did they? Mm-hmm. So there's still question marks there. My feelings are Stafford will be on the edge of the playoffs, as I feel Ensford will, in that same sort of area. Proof of the pudding's in the eating. You know, it's not so much the first bite, it's whether or not you can take the last bite. And
depends how rich the cake is, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
If it's served with custard or ice cream.
Yeah, true, yeah, as well. But if it's stodgy in the middle, mate, you're going to struggle.
Burke, it's a northern show, it'd be served with gravy. Right, so... so that's Stafford Rangers from Division 1 South.
I made some peat fritters the other day.
Did you?
I did, yeah. I had my tin of mushy peas.
Yes.
And I remembered about these pea fritters that I had in Penzance once. And I thought, oh, I'll try and make these. So I froze my peas, right, this mushy peas, took them out, banged them in some flour and some batter and all that. The only problem was the batter didn't cover it properly from where I was holding it, and all the peas leached out into the oil, and I just ended up with these really hard batter shells. They were very nice.
I had this idea we swampy gone to Shanghai. It was a lot more focused on football. Anyway, moving on. So, that's Division 1 South champions. Division 1 North champions, of course, Warrington. Now, this is the interesting one. Obviously, we're going to be doing Evo Stick Extra from Cantilever Park next week, from the match between Warrington and Stourbridge. Warrington... You mentioned Stafford are nailed. They're a bit confident about doing well this season. Do you reckon you get the same sense from Warrington that that's the case? Because they are a very ambitious club, aren't they?
I get the sense from Warrington. I'm not too certain whether or not it's quite ready for it. And they've got some ambitious people involved in the club, and I think they've got their heads in the right places. But the fact is that it's not going to be a 5-minute job going through the league, and I think perhaps Warrington will end up with one or two seasons in the Premier Division before then they go to the next step.
And as an FC United supporter, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a lovely to hibernate it.
The thing is, though, Ben, don't underestimate the First Division. Now, if you can't do, you look at history there, and you've got teams like Fylde and Chester and Halifax and Curzon Ashton gone straight up after getting promoted from Salford as well, and Darlington last season gone straight through after getting promoted from the First Division North. And is there any reason Warrington can't do it? I don't know. They've lost Lewis Field. And that's about it. They did lose Scott Metcalf temporarily, but he's back in the fold now. And he's, I mean, if he's
the front line, he's got potentially next year as well. Three players that are used to conference sort of football. Mm-hmm. They can easily get you a couple of goals, and then Kieran Killeen on top of that as well.
Got 40 goals last season. Exactly. Kieran Killeen, he's 32, I think, and he's still banging them in ridiculously. You know,
so they've got the firepower to potentially push up there. They remind me a lot about like Skelmersdale. How they went up, obviously, they could that sort of team that could push. But it's when the FA Cup, remember, they're still going to have a bit of FA Cup money available. Tommy McCormick is very, very ambitious about this league. I reckon they could mid-table quite easily, but
they'll be challenging.
Now
they'll be challenging for players.
Oh, Roy doesn't think so.
No, I think they'll be top middle.
That's still a good season considering he's in the league.
My feelings are that. As much as they might have off-field ambitions, those players need to be there for the right reasons, and that's to play for the club and, you know, as well as themselves.
Let's go back to Division 1 South and the playoff winners from Division 1 South, and it was Colville. Right? Might be a surprise to a few people who might have been picking Charlene for that one, but Colville, very worthy playoff winners last season. They were there or thereabouts all the way through, in fact challenging at one point for the title. For some reason, Colville, for my money, remind me a lot of Sutton Coldfield. And if Sutton Coldfield can finish 12th in their first season...
They do, but when they were in the Division 1 South, they were known as the perennial underachievers, but the nearly men. They were got there, but just missed out. They all, again, knocked out the playoffs in the semis or losing Charlene last year. This is their first time in this division, but I can't see them technically doing anything with that. They've got a good sense of players, but it's just more, I don't think they're ready just yet to be able to compete properly. They need to have a lot of work to be able to survive in this league. And
well, they've got a brand new clubhouse, they've spruced up the ground, they're ready to go. What do you think, Alan?
I think with Colville, I think that the club will make sure that they're not relegated. I think it'll be a season making sure that they're happy to be in the Premier Division for the moment, and I think they may again be 2-3 years at that level, and then they'll probably be able to kick on. I know the chairman quite well. He won't accept the club skirting relegation, so if they have a bad run, he'll do something about it.
I think they're in a better position than when Belper came up a couple of years ago, and they were essentially a one-man team with Jonathan Froggatt. And this season, it seems to be with Colville, it seems to be a little bit more throughout the team. They've got quality there, and I don't see them having any problem staying up this season. And all right, Sutton finished bang mid-table last team. I think probably Colville will as well, but I think they'll do it maybe a little bit more finesse.
I think maybe two wins will be the telling point between the team that finishes bottom and the team that finishes just out of the relegation group.
And are you putting Colville in that list?
I would say that they are one of them that could be in there.
Write that down.
But also couldn't be in there. You know,
are you sitting on the fence?
That's a non-committal.
I'd say there's about 10 teams that fall into that group, to be honest. I feel that this league is split straight through the middle. Whereas usually, I'd say there's three divisions in it. There's the ones that are running away for the playoffs, the ones that are comfortable, and there's the ones that really struggle. But I don't believe that's going to be the case this season.
Well, we're going to be doing our predictions at the end of this particular episode of the MPL show. Let's go to Spennymoor. Now, Spennymoor, we're going to go to Andrew Snaith in a second, because he's got some very high words indeed for Spennymoor this season. I'm not going to ruin it for you. But Andrew Snaith, here he comes now from Whitby Town Radio with his views on Spennymoor.
So earlier, Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio mentioned He's, well, I don't want to say dark horse because that's going to crop up again and again during this pre-season, season preview thing podcast that we're doing here on the NPL show. But he did mention Spennymoor as a potential dark horse this season. What is it about Spennymoor that, that you're thinking might be a concern for the rest of the league?
The quality of those signings, Ben, they're absolutely top draw. Three players from Gateshead, there are regulars in the Conference National. They've got James Curtis at centre-half, Rob Ramshaw and Jamie Chandler leading the line. Graham Armstrong's come in from Darlington, who, of course, I know a lot about with him being a former Whitby player. They've got so much quality there. They've spent big. They're a big team as well, actually, physically. They're going to be... And we've seen in past seasons that that can make a difference to the top team. They do tend to have that physical edge. Teams like Chorley, remember, the ground out results, and that's so important in the Evo Stick Premier. But yeah, they're not really dark horses for me. Spennymoor are the favourites.
They won't be the first promoted side from Division 1 North to go straight up the next season. There is a lot of work gone on off the pitch. Obviously, there's the new pub, obviously, as well. So it is a club that's going places.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got the most tavern in the street and in the centre of the town. Yeah, Brad Groves is a good chairman. He does a lot of work off the field. It's important to him. Yes, he's put some money into the club, but he wants them to be self-sufficient. And they're very professional on and off the field. Jason Ainsley running the side as well. They play the right way. As much as they'll be rivals to us, it's probably the closest side for the coming season. Spennymoor, big favourites. They'll be looking to follow in the footsteps of Darlington, another North East side, hoping to go straight through First Division and Premier.
He says they're a dark horse this season.
I don't think they're a dark horse.
I don't blame him.
Oh.
They're not a dark
horse. Oh, Berkey's going to say they're going to win the league.
I say this every season about one team. Someone goes, Ben usually goes, oh, they're a dark horse. And I go, they're not a dark horse.
No, they're not.
They're a striding stallion. They'll do really, really well. If Spennymoor aren't in the playoffs, I will be astonished. They're a great team. I love watching Spennymoor. And they've got a good management team there. They've got some cracking players.
They've done a lot off the pitch as well. They've got, absolutely, got a new bar manager.
Well, there you are.
In the new pub.
Yeah, they've said new pub, haven't they? Yeah. So, I really rate Spennymoor. And I hope I wish him nothing but the best. I like him a lot.
Any other words on Spennymoor?
I don't think that I'm with Berkey. It's not nowhere near a dark horse.
Their football qualities there that they've built on over the last two seasons. Well, three seasons, to be honest. Even in the Northern League, because they've sort of built on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, they set in place there and they've just built on it and built on it. And there's no way they're not going to step forward a little bit further. Definitely. No way in this world.
But that's it. The players that they've signed as well, basically the Darlington players that decided to do what to stay in this division and compete. They've signed a couple from Gateshead, a couple from the Northern League, and again the Northern League.
They've got three players from Gateshead. They are going to be quite.
That's what I mean. I would be surprised if they don't finish in the top five. Personally, I really would.
Armstrong, him from Darlington, haven't they?
Oh, blimey, yeah, of course.
Now there's two clubs who are joining us from the National League. Hello, welcome to Corby Town and Hensford Town.
Do we have to have Corby?
One of the advantages of having Corby is we can speak to the best journalist in Northamptonshire from the Northamptonshire Telegraph, John Dunham. Legend from the Southern League show. This is where we are nowadays. To talk about Corby, because you four, let's be honest, you haven't got a clue, have you, about Corby?
No.
They're good at pressing, though, aren't
five
they?
Five letters in the name.
There's a lot of
anyone? Did anyone hear that? I said they're good at pressing.
Right. Ben, you're good.
Well, you can tell FC United played Corby Town and we cracked that joke last season, but I'm
raging speed.
Remember the Green Party, I can recycle. So here's John Dunham to fill us all in on Corby Town.
So, there's a new team in town, and it's Corby Town. And joining me now to discuss the chances for Corby Town this coming season, it's the welcomed debut on the NPL show of Northamptonshire Telegraph sports reporter, it's John Dunham. Hello, John, how are you?
I'm all right, Ben. How are you, mate?
I'm all good. Well, welcome to the North. You must be very proud.
Thanks.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's good to be here. Yeah.
You'll have gravy and peas and everything before you know it. Right. Okay.
Fantastic. Can't wait.
Corby Town. Then there's a thing in the Northern Premier League that teams that come out the National North don't tend to do well the following season. What do you think? What do you make of the chances for Corby Town this year?
It's going to be difficult to tell, Ben, to be honest, because they're completely different. They got relegated so decisively from the National League North that it sparked a massive overhaul in players. The manager's still the same, Tommy Wright. He's still there. But the squad is completely different to what it was last season. So we've had a lot of changes. I think there's probably just one or two who were there last season who have remained, and the rest of them are new. And it's a bit of a new era for them as well, because they're training during the day, a couple of days a week in line with the club's academy, which they're really big on at the minute. So it's a very young squad as well. It's difficult. It's difficult to tell, really.
The setup at Corby, obviously, I was down there with FC last season, and the stadium's very, very impressive. There's a training ground nearby as well. It's a good setup at the club, and right, really, for challenging, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a very good setup there, and they're gradually building it up as well as they can. They'll probably admit themselves that when they went up to the Conference North after winning the Southern League, you know, I think that all happened probably at least a season earlier than most expected. And ultimately, they found the Conference North very, very tough, which it is. So, you know, by the time they really tried to adjust to it, it was all too late for them. So, you know, they've had a taste of it and they want it again. But at the same time, I think everyone down this way is very wary of the fact that it has been a massive overhaul during the summer, and it is a young squad. And they're also all, you know, in general, they're all going into the unknown as far as the Northern Premier League is concerned as well. You know, it's not a division that Tommy Wright's managed in before. I'm not even sure it's one that he played in either. I don't think he played in there either. So, you know, it's going to be a whole new ball game for them. So they're probably going to be learning as they go.
And the other thing says as well, I know Corby were in the National North, and for people in the NPL, they might think, well, why is Corby in the Northern Premier League? It's going to be an interesting one, but not too difficult for Corby given the travelling that they were doing last season.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it's a strange one, isn't it? Because down this way, we've got Corby Town and Kettering Town who play at the same step. So that just shows you Corby's just that little bit further north than Kettering, about 8 miles or so. And clearly that's enough. But I think they were perfectly happy with the fact they're going into the north. Like you say, they're used to travelling up that way from last season. So yeah, I don't think that's going to be a problem for them. I think what they'll try and target is some decent home form, because, you know, teams are always going to have to travel a fair distance to come and play them. So I would have thought their home form will be, you know, a key target for them to try and do as well as they can on their own pitch. But, you know, having spoken to Tommy Wright this week, he's, you know, feeling fairly confident, as he always does. But at the same time, there's no arrogance about it. He is well aware that they're going into a new division. He's well aware of the teams who are in there and their capabilities, and the fact that there's some very good players and some very good managers and some, you know, some very big clubs as well in the division. So knowing Tommy as well as I do now, he certainly won't be going in there to make up the numbers.
And obviously, for fans of FC's podcasts, people might know John's voice from the Southern League show. But the beauty of Corby Town and the likes of Rushden Diamonds being in our league now is that you can hear more from John Dunham this season. But John, just how could people follow your work? Because you cover all the non-league clubs in Northamptonshire. How could people follow your work?
Yeah, so we've got our paper, which is out once a week, the North Hampton Telegraph on a Thursday, and then we've got our website, which is updated 7 days a week, which is www.northamptontelegraph.co.uk, and I am usually pretty lively on Twitter on match days and every day, really. So that's at John with no H Dunham NT. So you can follow us for all of that, and yeah, anything you want to know about Corby Town or anyone else around this way, you can find out for all of those.
Alan, you wanted to say something about Corby Town?
What to do know about Corby is it's gone and the greatest Glasgow Rangers supporters clubs outside Glasgow, and they're looking forward to being in the Northern Premier League, because I think they're looking for weekends. If Rangers are at home on the Sunday and Corby are away on the Saturday, then they'll be doing weekends, doubling up with the with Corby and
Rangers.
Which
happens this week, by the way.
Does it?
Mm.
And I should say, I went to Corby Town last season, and the stadium's very, very impressive, and they do Scotch pies.
Of course they do. Yeah. Like Alan said, it's people from Glasgow.
I know, but I'm just reassuring people that even though it's technically the South, really, they still do good pies.
Well, they do fried Mars bars, though.
They did a lot of fried stuff from memory at the kiosk.
Well, make sure they're not pea fritters.
Well. Absolutely not. The fish was very nice. That didn't leak out into nothing.
At this point, I'm going to remind people of the fact that teams that come out of the National North don't tend to do well the following season.
They don't.
I mean, we're going to come to Hensford in a second. But
just look at Colwyn Bay and Hyde United.
And Drawlston.
And Stafford Rangers. Yeah, the rest of the North.
And Lancaster.
Now, we're going to do Hensford Town now, and that means Hensford Town. Now, just to... Hensford Town, the setup they've got, it's a conference stadium, let's be honest.
How have they got relegated? Yes. Well, Frank Sinclair. Oh...
No, he's gone now, mate. Hensford Town, they've got a cracking setup, as of Corby Town, but we can't escape the fact that teams that do get relegated out of the Conference North or the National North don't do well.
No, they don't, and maybe they come down expecting just to go up again, you know, on that quality alone. And what I would say is that, you know, they need to forget where they've been and maybe work out where they want to go. I think one of the biggest things that give Hensford a lot of stability was the management team that they had. You know, he was there for quite a while, the lad, I can't even remember his name now. But,
the ex-Telford guy.
It is, yeah. He went to, And, you know, was his name Rob?
Smith?
Yeah, Rob Smith.
Smith. Yeah. He's at Telford now, isn't he?
Yeah, that's the same one. And to be honest, I mean, you know, that is a big factor. If you have a good settled management team that, you know, understand the leagues and the levels, you know, you'll do well. What I will say is on behalf of Corby and on behalf of Hensford, they're teams that don't usually struggle financially, so really there's no excuse, you know, not to be able to bring players in that can operate at that level and maybe above.
Bet365 have made Hensford favourites at the moment.
The crackers. Seriously, they're absolute crackers.
Well, we also know it depends on the money that you're bringing in anyway.
Yeah.
The thing is about that neck of the woods, I mean, we mentioned Telford there with Rob Smith being the manager. They don't half move around the players and move around the non-league world in that area.
Hales Owen as well. The three seem to swap.
You can tie them into, to be honest, you can tie them into the Stafford area as well, like, you know what I mean? So,
I mean, Hackett seems performing quite well this year. They are used to this sort of level. And remembering the last time, because I don't want to give him too much of a clatel here, but a bit like a West Brom where the yo-yo between the conference, the National League North.
There aren't North any South. Teams that naturally yo-yo between step two and step three. There are between step one and step two, but you look at step two, step three, and step three, and step four. Yeah. There aren't any teams that yo-yo.
Well, Hensford are a good example of that, though, because they do jump up between the leagues quite a lot. If you're not into our division, into the South.
But that's why I bring it back to the management team. While they had Rob Smith there, they were very settled. They were a strength. The home ground was a place to go and battle, you know, at the end of the day, and that's what kept them and gave them the reputation they got. Since he's left, I don't feel that they've had that.
I'd just like to pay tribute to my wife who bought me this book, because I did FC Live last night and I wrote Rob Smith's name down because we played Telford. So there you go. Right, so it's now time for predictions, people. Ooh. We promised this at the start of the show. We were going to do predictions at this stage. We've mentioned all the teams now. I think we've mentioned everyone.
Hales Owen, is it?
No, we did Hales Owen. We did the interview with Adam Parks about Hales Owen. So we've mentioned everyone. Firstly, title?
Blythe by 10 points.
Blythe by 10 points.
Blythe.
I'm going to say Blythe.
Sorry, Blythe. Right, okay, so Blythe for the title. That's easy for
not
remember.
By 10 yeah. points, though.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Not by 10 points.
No one thinks that's crazy. He doesn't even think that.
I do.
Just being talk sport here. Right, playoffs. Four teams only. Go on, Roy.
Workington, Spennymoor, Ashton, Ensford.
Okay. Bearcat.
I'm going to say, not necessarily in order.
No, no, sure.
Spennymoor in second. Oh, that is in order, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spennymoor, Ashton, Stafford, and I don't know, I'm tempted to say Warrington, you know. Warrington, yeah, why not?
Alan.
Ensford. Spennymoor. And then it starts getting difficult. I really, really feel that we should be looking at Stafford Rangers carrying on with their momentum. And Ashton.
Okay, and James, lastly.
Yeah, I'm not going to do like five teams like this year anyway, don't worry. Workington, Hensford, Spennymoor, and I think Spennymoor will host a game as well. And Stourbridge will just get over the line this time. The last 2 years, they've just missed out.
Okay.
I'll argue with that.
And I'm going to take a vote at this point. Should we do relegation at this point?
Yeah.
Is that fair? Okay. Birke, as you're so keen.
Oh, right. Well, I am fairly keen, aren't I? Well, I can't say Frickley, because they never get relegated, do they? So I'm going to go for, looking through the teams, Grantham, Sutton Coldfield, Skelmersdale, and Corby.
Oh, that mate, Corby. That makes it awkward for the Division 1 North and South split as well. Well done, Burke. Roy?
I can change it to Matlock if you want.
Sutton, Grantham, Matlock, Micklover.
Oh, I forgot about
Alan, your prediction last year, if I may say so, was a bit of a cop out.
Yeah.
But you got it right.
You got Hyde right, yeah.
It's incredible, that, isn't it?
Here comes the predictions of a man with no weight. There we go.
Right, well, I'm fearful for Grantham, Micklover, and then there's probably about another four or five beyond there, and really, I'd prefer not. Those four or five, I mean, they're the clubs that are always around that relegation zone. I think.
Come on, you're not part of the league anymore.
All right, okay. well, I don't know what it is about Skelmersdale. I really love Skelmersdale as a club, and I don't want to be saying them, but somehow I don't know what it is that.
Is it the roundabouts?
I think they've been up there, and it's not quite worked. And I've just wondered now if they're on the decline. I hope. I really, really hope not. Matlock Town need to be careful. They seem to get enough points and then they take the foot off the pedal and then suddenly they're in trouble. So I don't really want to go beyond that.
That's good, because you never actually predicted anyone there. You said you were fearful for two sides and then you're concerned about the other two, so that's nice. James?
One team you're going to be surprised this year, because I'm not going to badmouth them. Micklover, Skelmersdale, Colville.
What?
And then finally, Grantham. I think they need to have a lot better start than they did.
You see, the thing is, like, we're all struggling wholeheartedly and on art to actually pick four teams.
Well, apart from Grantham, we all
and
agree.
That's why I feel.
Well, you're all forgetting the Athletics track.
That's why I feel that it's going to be really tight from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. There will not be three divisions in that league. There'll be two.
And we mentioned that last year, they can kill a game quite easily, as you found out last year. So that is the end of this EvoStick NPL show special for the newbies for the league, plus stroke predictions for next season. Look out tomorrow morning for the Division 1 predictions for next season. That's right. It's amazing. Swampy's not here, and we're doing three shows in one night. That's progress, people. So thank you to Burke. Thank you to Roy Sewell. Thank you to Alan Alcock. Thank you to James Hayes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.